All righty. I promise I'm not slacking. We're not live streaming. So this is more relaxed atmosphere, so we don't have to, don't have to kick it off at 7 o'clock. So, we've had a lot of more interest outside than I thought that we would. So what we're going to do is I'm going to record on my phone tonight, and then next week Brother Anthony can bring his recording stuff and we can record and then put it out later in the week as a podcast, so everybody will get it. What would be neat is if we had, you know, people that wanted to share this with other people. That would be something that would be good. And I enjoy the more informal teaching environment. And this is really good material that we'll be going through. Brother Anthony and I will be alternating weeks. So I get to kick this one off. What to expect? It will probably take us 45 minutes to an hour to go through the materials. I will not belabor the point. If I run out of material, we'll dismiss. But it is, these are very, very intense, good lessons, and I believe we will get a lot out of it. I always believe in teaching and preaching. I believe there's room for both. The Bible speaks to teaching, and that is where we learn. I enjoy Sunday preaching as well as anybody. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy listening to good preaching. That's inspirational. It's exhortation. That's good too. But we learn by teaching. You got your foundation for your education at home with mom and dad teaching. And so that's what we look for, and that's where we go. So with that being said, let me kind of give you the lay of the land. We'll open each lesson every week with prayer. And then starting next week, we will be asking for some brief testimonials about how did this affect your life in this week, this coming up week. So what did we talk about this week that you could share with someone? So we'll have a couple of those. And then we'll kind of review every week, catch everybody up. If you have workbooks, if you don't have workbooks, please take notes. And this is going to be informal, so if you have questions, we can do those. And looking forward to that. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be together. I ask that you would bless, God, help us, Lord, to reach others, God, to be better disciples of yours. We ask that you would anoint the lesson, anoint us as we go through this session, and we will praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Since you guys obviously have not had the first lesson, I would like to share something that happened with me this week that was very, it was very cool. Let me put it that way. Pam and I were eating lunch at a local restaurant yesterday, and I glanced up and I said, I think that's Coach Freeman, our high school football coach. And sure enough, it was. And so I wasn't going to miss that opportunity. So he was talking to somebody. We were finished eating, and he was finished, so he was on his way out. So I kind of stood back in the background, and then when he finished talking to this guy, I just introduced myself, told him my name was Tony Roberts. I said, Coach Freeman, just wanted to let you know, appreciate what you stand for, because I've told this church publicly before, he is the type of guy that comes across as practicing what he preaches. He does confess to be a Christian. He does say that he's involved in these kids' lives. And so he comes across as sincere. And I told him that I had used him as an example in one of my sermons. And he was like, man, I hope it was a good part. And I said, oh, yeah, it was definitely that. And so he and I just kind of connected and started talking. And he said, yeah, he said, I believe you can win, but still do it the right way. He said, you don't have to be haughty. You don't have to be conceited. He said, I came to Alabaster to win. I told people that up front. I told him that, no offense to the Hawkins, but he said, we're going to knock Hoover off the hill. They're the king of the hill. And he said, we're going to replace them. And he said, I meant that because we can be competitive and still do things right. And he said, just this morning, said I had one of my players that was acting crazy. So I had to go get him out of class. He said, I chewed him out. And he said, I went back to my office and the Lord spoke to me and said, you did not ask him what was wrong. Because there's always something behind the action. And he said, I repented first and then I went back and got him out of class again. And I said, and I told him, I said, I apologize because I did not ask you a question. What's going on? And the young man went on to explain that dad is not in the picture. Raised in a single parent home. His dad has moved to another state. He said, I would just like to see my dad. And so Coach Freeman said, I prayed with him and told him I'd continue to pray for him. So that made an impression on me. That we hear all the bad stuff. That's all the news media capitalizes on. We never hear about a football coach that genuinely cares about young men and that cares about their families. And so pretty neat conversation. And hopefully I get to get to know him better. I did tell him I was pastor of a church, and he said, man, thank you for what you guys do. He said, we got to work together. It's a group effort. So with that being said, we will be looking at Acts chapter 1 and 2 and then talking about the church. I'll use that terminology, the church, and I didn't set a timer, so if I get way out there, you guys reel me back in. And then we will be talking about this local assembly. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about the Church International, the Church, United States Church, Church International. And then we're part of that, which I will call the Kingdom of God. I believe we're part of the Kingdom of God. So Acts chapter 1 and 2. I made a comment maybe Sunday that we get to pick our friends, but you're stuck with your family. Like it or not. We all have Uncle So-and-so that we'd just as soon not see at Thanksgiving. But he's going to be there. So in the family of God, we are family. And I believe we need to look at each other as family. We need to honor each other's family. We're not just acquaintances. We're not just friends. But I believe we're family. That's why we address each other's brother and sister. I believe that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Every family has traditions. Every family has things that you do. I, around Christmas time, shared a couple of our traditions that we do at the Roberts family. I'm sure you guys have the same thing. They might be corny. They might not make sense to other people, but they're yours. They're yours. And because they are yours, you need to do it. And it doesn't matter if it works, then do it. The church, I believe, develops personalities. Each church develops personalities. We have some things we do at Abundant Life Church that we just kind of started. I had the privilege of starting a church. So I didn't inherit a situation where we've always done it like that for 100 years. That's why we need to keep doing it. We had no traditions. As a matter of fact, our traditions are about 16 years old. So that doesn't even begin to cover traditional stuff. So we started the church. Christianity, most people think Christianity started in the book of Acts. It actually started in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God. Because when mankind fell in Genesis, the whole story of the Bible from that point forward is God trying to reconnect with man and have a relationship with man. So really, the church started in Genesis 1 and 1. I am in my personal Bible reading. I'm in the book of Numbers now. And Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus talks about the history of the Israelites. Then we talked about all of the law and the offerings, feast, all of that stuff. We look at that, and now I'm into Numbers, where they're getting ready to be delivered and to take possession of the land. And when we look at the church history, when we look at the history of the people of God, God always has a plan, whether we can see it or not. 40 years of walking around in the wilderness wasn't much of a plan, but it was the plan. And God said, here's what we're going to do. Trust me, I'm going to deliver you. I talked about in one of my sermons, the Jews were not chosen of God because God was playing favorites. They were chosen of God because he chose to hold them to a higher standard and say, through you, this is things that are going to work. So the question I would like to ask us tonight in this informal setting is, Abundant Life Church, are we willing to be used of God? Are we willing to maybe stretch ourselves? Are we willing to say, God, use us? So as we move through this, I believe that God has a plan for us. I believe that God always works things together for good, whether we can see it or not. The hardest thing for us is to figure out what God, or try to figure out what God is going to do. Because right now, the situation you're in might make zero sense. But God has a plan. And I believe that we need to stay with that. I need someone to read Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 45 for me. Who can read that for me? Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 45. Whatever version you have, we will take it. Yes. What do you think it would have been like to be part of that church? They had no buildings. They had no live stream. Bible says they went house to house. And I've kind of changed my deal on that. I threw this out there when we were talking about kicking off the new year. I believe that we don't need more church. We need better church. We need more productive church. And I believe in this house to house. I've always heard and I've always thought about, well, that was them, you know, somebody taking my favorite instrument, the accordion. I say that facetiously. Taking the accordion and a drum box, and we're going to go to the Hawkins house and we're going to have church. What if house to house was simply what the Bible says it was, fellowship? Where we did talk about God, but it wasn't a service, but we were fellowshipping. I like breaking bread. That's always good. Every time we meet with some of our Latino brothers and sisters, they have a spread. They believe in eating. They will party before you know it. And they are open about it. What if that's what the early church was doing? They were still sharing the gospel, but they were fellowship and they were building relationships. They were engaged with each other. The Bible says they sold all that they had. I don't believe they lived like a monk in a cave. I don't believe that, but I believe they were generous with what God had blessed them with. And if they found someone with a need, they didn't wait for somebody else to step in. They went and took care of that need. They went and helped those people because they had all things in common. I believe the church today can still experience what the church in Acts experienced. I believe we can still have signs and wonders in the church. I believe we can still have good, strong relationships in the church. The more the world tries to divide us into subgroups, the more the church needs to unite us into one group. Because the world tries their best to separate us and to put us in this little box, and you belong here and you belong here, and then you can't get along with each other. I believe that there's no place for that in the church. And I believe the early church was united for the single purpose of, we need to win the world. We need to win people to God. So these people, the people in the book of Acts that Brother Hawkins read about, believed in Jesus despite the opposition from religious leaders who said he was a fraud, that he was a blasphemer. They still believed in him because they had found something real. And when you find something real, you need to quit looking for supplements. And that's where people make a mistake. They find the truth, but then they want to either try to explain it or achieve another level. Once you've achieved truth, truth is truth. You can learn more about Jesus, and I believe that. I teach and preach that. I believe you can be as deep in God as you want to be. But we need to be careful when we get so deep that we start to drift off away. And I've seen that happen. Once you've found truth, you've got truth. Build on that. Instead of trying to supplement that, instead of trying to work through that, build on that. I was talking to someone after church Sunday. I've forgotten who it was. This lady was talking to me about you know, somebody had talked to her about some of the supplemental books, like the Book of Enoch, the Book of Maccabees, and I told her, I said, those are good historical books, but the reason they're not part of this Bible, our Bible, is because scholars got together and created the canon, which is the books that we take as our Bible that are inspired Word of God. And I said, we can look at those other books. They're good history books. They're good supplemental books. But they're not in there because I believe God could anoint the men who got together and formed our Bible. I believe He could anoint them and endue them with knowledge to gather what we have as truth. We get into trouble when we start trying to supplement the Bible, when we start trying to add to it or take away from it. We just need to accept it. There's nothing wrong with accepting it and say, I believe it. So the book of Acts believed in Jesus Christ. They stuck with it in spite of the opposition. So when we look at that, when we look at their attitude, I believe that the church grew in spite of persecution. So when the devil tries to shut the church down, all he's going to do is spread the fire. Amen. You cannot fight a grease fire with water, because it will get out of control. And the more the devil tries to come against the church, I believe the more he's just spreading the gospel. And I believe that can work. So how does our church today, this is not a rhetorical question, somebody give me some help. How does our church today compare to the model of the early church? How can we compare to the early church? What do we have in common with them? Absolutely. We still gather together. We have the same spirit they had. I believe we received the same Holy Ghost they received in the book of Acts. I don't believe it was a different experience. I don't believe it was a different phenomenon. I believe that we still receive that same experience today. God blessed the first church and it grew. As we gather today, God still blesses us and we can grow. I'm not talking about just numerically. I'm talking about spiritually. I believe 2024 is going to be a year of growth for Abundant Life Church, not just numerically, not just financially. I believe it's going to be spiritually, where we can look back and say, I achieved something in God in 2024 that I didn't know I could achieve. Also, let's look at real quick. Brother Hawkins, if you don't mind, would you go ahead and read verses 46 and 47 if you're still there? Those are powerful scriptures. Those are powerful scriptures. Because I believe that as Christians, we should be the examples in the community. We should be the ones leading the way. And I believe God grants us favor. I believe God can grant us favor as we go along. Kind of to dig in a little bit here, I'd like to share the history of Abundant Life Church. Some of you guys know the history, and some of you probably don't. We have documented history. I've tried to preserve that because one day we'll be a 50-year-old church, and it'll be interesting to figure out where we got started. I can remember when Pam and I have always felt when we moved to Alabama in 94, always felt that we would eventually start a church. We moved to Alabaster. We've lived in Alabaster since 94. And so when we were thinking about the church, I wanted to get the name right because you need branding, you need a name. And so I literally just wrote down suggestions on a legal pad and we looked at them, whittled them down. I think maybe we got it down to a top five, top 10. And when we went into Abundant Life Church, we took that directly from John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. And I believe that Abundant Life Church is not just a name, it's not just a brand, but I believe in that scripture. I'm working on a sermon now that speaks to being whole, and God has been dealing with me that lately. We have broken people. We have broken people. You're going to come into contact, and I'm not talking about people that their car wouldn't start and they're devastated. I'm talking about people that are broken. I believe that God can put us back together. And I believe there is the Bible speaks to healings where they were healed. And healing is good. But when the Bible takes that extra step and says they were made whole, that's a whole different ball game. Because when you put something broken back together, and I won't preach before I preach, but when you put something broken back together, trust me, gentlemen, I've tried this before. I have broken cups that were not supposed to be broken. So I would go grab the Gorilla Glue. She'll never notice that. A few weeks later, she came in there and said, "When'd you break the cup?" Like, how'd you know? Because you glued it back together, and I can tell. Even though it will still function, it is still, you can see it. But when God steps in and says, "I'm going to make you whole," there are no scars. There's no baggage. You can't tell it was broken. And I believe God wants to do that in our society today, where people come into the church and they are broken. And God says, not only can I restore you, but I can make you whole. You can become useful in the kingdom of God again. Your past can be gone. I believe that very strongly. And I believe that John 10 and 10 speaks to that. Life more abundant. Life is good. But man, more abundant life is better. Our first service was held December the 17th, 2005, in the living room of our house. Had 8 people in attendance. 5 of them had the last name Roberts, and we had 2 ladies we were teaching Bible studies to, and one of those ladies had an infant daughter. And so we started in the living room of our home December the 17th, 2005. We met there until March the 5th, 2006. So about 3 months, we outgrew the living room. We outgrew the cul-de-sac. Our parking lot was the cul-de-sac. One of my next-door neighbor came over one day and said, "Are y'all having church or something over here on Sundays?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, here we go. About to get a letter from the homeowners association." And he's like, "Man, we enjoy it because we're getting ready to go to our church. We listen to your music, and we kind of have church before church." So we outgrew the church, and we moved, had 18 people when we moved to the barbershop. It wasn't a barbershop then, across the street. That barbershop on this end of the strip mall, directly across the street. We moved in there with 18 people. These brown chairs, we had a promotion where you buy your own chair. If you want to sit down at church, you have to buy a chair. So we bought these folding chairs, these brown chairs. So when they wear out, we need to save one of them somewhere. So we bought our own chairs. We had these brown chairs across there, and we stayed in that building until January the 4th, 2009. If you've been around Abundant Life Church, you have probably seen one of those pictures of us walking across the street as a congregation. How many of you in this room made that trip? Across the street. I know the Hillsteads were there. And we walked across the street January the 4th, 2009, walked into this building. Doesn't look anything like it did that day. We walked across with 39 people and took possession of this building and had church here that Sunday. And I think Brother Anthony talked about the curtains. The sound in here was atrocious. There was bouncing off walls, and we had the gym lights. Harsh, harsh light. Storage room over here that was the junk room. And God has blessed us. God has blessed us. I think everybody probably has a mission statement. We've had several throughout the years. But the one that I've kind of stuck with is that we exist so that people who are lost, sick, hurt, battered, and bruised by the cares of life can find a place of healing and safety. This is a safe place. You don't have to worry about coming in here, somebody telling your business, or somebody judging. This is a safe place. It's a safe place. Because this is where people who are hurt come. And God has sent us so many people, that I knew when they came to Abundant Life Church, they would not be permanent members because God had something else for them in ministry. We've got people from Abundant Life Church all over the United States that have literally moved off and are still involved in ministry. They needed a safe place to recoup, to recharge, to acknowledge your call, and God has done that. We are an incorporated church. We are incorporated with the state of Alabama, and we have bylaws that were adopted by the church board. We have a board of directors, three men currently serve in this capacity, Brother Anthony, Brother Daniel, and Brother Danny Hillstead, Daniel Burnham. I'm the chairman of the board as the president of the corporation. My wife is the secretary treasurer. She is elected by the church body to a two-year term. That happens at our business meeting. We'll have that coming up soon. I believe that in the church, let me quote Coach Friedman right quick. He told me, he said, the hardest thing to do is stay at the top of the mountain. And I never really thought about that. He said, we had a mountain to conquer and we've gotten there. He said, the hardest thing now is maintaining that. And he said, I like talking to people like you because I explained to him we endured I call them the dark years, 1-9 and 0-10. And he said, I like talking to people like you because y'all appreciate what we've done. He said, these people that have just moved into the community, they're used to winning. They take it for granted. And he said, he's evidently friends with Coach Saban. He said, he told me, when you get to the top, you've got to maintain it. It's hard to do. I believe it's the same way in the church. When you reach a peak in your walk with God, the devil will fight you trying to get you to surrender that. When you get momentum, it is hard to maintain momentum. Because when you're trying to get there, and in sales, you've set a goal. In your personal life, you've set a goal, and you're working so hard to get there. You're focused on that. You get there, and then the natural tendency is to what? Sit back and celebrate, right? And before you know it, a 24-hour celebration's turned into 2 weeks and then 2 months, and then pretty soon we're on the other side fighting our way back up the hill again because we lost momentum, we lost focus. At Abundant Life Church, I believe we have momentum. I feel momentum. What we have to do is be careful to maintain it because I don't want to pastor a church that our graph looks like a guy on the EKG that's about to die of a heart attack. Up here, down here. Up here, down here. I believe our walk with God we're going to have bumps. Real life gets in the way. I believe that. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. But I believe it needs to be more rolling hills than peaks and valleys. I don't want to be up one day and down the next. I don't want to come into Abundant Life Church and say, my Lord, I don't know how we're going to survive another day. And then we come in and it's like, my Lord, I can't believe we're here. I want to have something more right instead of that ski slope looking stuff. And I believe we can have that. I believe that with the momentum we have, we can keep that and we can keep it going. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Paul describes the church and he compares it to a family. And this is part of his letter to the church at Ephesus. If you look at Ephesus, it was a very diverse city. People were immersed in different religions. And in the course of his letter to the Ephesians, Paul explained that the church made up of hardened sinners reflects the love of God. And I believe that is true today. If we went around the room and we told each other where we came from, we all have one thing in common. We were sinners before we came to God. Every one of us in this room have experienced forgiveness. Every one of us in this room have experienced the love of God. And we all have that in common. So what Paul was trying to show the Ephesians is we have this in common. We have this church that is made up of pardoned sinners. And this group of believers, we never need to forget where we came from. We never need to forget grace. We never need to forget mercy, because if God showed us grace and mercy, we need to show grace and mercy. There are no perfect people. There are no people that got it all together. Everybody, somewhere along the way, has had something to happen to them. And what Paul was saying, even though we come from different walks of life, even though we have different backgrounds, even though you were delivered from something maybe that was never a temptation for me, we have one thing in common. We are part of the church. We're forgiven. We're set free. And what we need to do is share that with someone else. We have that in common. In a family, we work together. In a family, we live together. In a family, we exist together. And Paul was saying, if the love of God binds us together, then that is stronger than anything the enemy can use to tear us apart. Because the enemy likes separation. The enemy likes to drive the wedge. The enemy loves to sow discord. The enemy loves to get us looking at what we don't have. And Paul is saying, don't forget where you came from. Because that love of God binds us together as a family. Church is more than just a religion. Church is more than just we get together. Church is more than just a place that we come on Sunday to check a box. But Paul was saying it has got to be our life, and we can't forget where God brought us from and what God has done for us. Mission of the church. Mission of the church. I've shared a little bit of that with you. I'd like to dig down a little deeper. Someone, if you could get 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Not just be merciful, not just in action. I mean in words, but in action. Most people can pick up on insincerity pretty quickly. It's hard to fake sincerity. It's hard to fake. Yeah, it's easy to give lip service. It's harder to live it. And I believe that's what this 1 Peter, that means. Who are we now? Verse 10 says, who are we now? We are chosen people. I believe that comes with divine favor. I believe we are chosen by God to fulfill whatever mission He has given us to fulfill. So if He has called you to be and you fill in the blank, then He has endued you. If God has called you, He has equipped you. God will never call you to do something that's out of your wheelhouse. If He has called you, if you feel like I've got a call of God to do this, and I'm not just talking about pulpit ministry, I'm not just talking about ministry in a service. I am talking about to minister to your neighbor, to Maybe you have this deal where you walk up to people and they just sense you're a sincere person and ask you to pray for them. Whatever God has given you as a gift, use that. Capitalize on that. How do you think Jesus wants to use the church to show His marvelous light? What are some ways we can show the light of Jesus? What are some ways we can do that? Yes. What else? Showing love, kindness. We've already talked about mercy, gentleness, graciousness. Patience. I wish you hadn't brought that one up. Most of us probably struggle with patience. But I believe that if someone stops you to talk to you, they did it for a reason. And I know we all have schedules to keep, but I believe there are divine encounters that God puts into our life where people who are hurting, maybe they just need 5 or 10 minutes to talk to somebody that's sane. And I believe God can lead us and cross our paths with people who are sincere and sincerely need Him. And we should always be ready for that. So these words, these characteristics that you guys have talked about, I believe those are needed, because how many people do not get that today? Because our world is not patient. We're on a 24-hour news cycle. We're off to the next story. Lord knows we're not gracious. We live in a society that's me first and I'll run over you to get to the top, and that's not Christ-like. That is not Christ-like. I believe the church exists for a purpose. We need to connect others to Jesus Christ. We need to connect others to Jesus Christ. Think about how many people you've come in contact with today. And then if you've touched 10 people, I believe every one of those 10 that you have touched has probably touched 10. You have probably, through this thing spreading out like ripples in a pond, we have probably touched hundreds of people today. because everybody you came in contact with came in contact with some other people. Then those people came into contact with somebody. What if you put something in their life or made them feel better and they pass that along to someone else? Before you know it, you've influenced maybe at least tens of people, if not hundreds of people, for the better just by doing one simple thing. I believe we get lost in the tall weeds of church growth. We want the 1,000-soul revival. We want a tent revival. We want a crusade. How about if I just reach one person? And that person reaches one person, and that person reaches one. Look at what we could do. Look at how this thing could spread out. Acts was a group of people who were active. That is what the book of Acts is Acts of the Apostles. I believe they were, you heard this word a couple of Sundays ago at our kickoff service, intentional, focused, driven. All of those words we talk about that successful people do, I believe we can do that in the church and be successful. But we've got to be intentional. We've got to be pointed about it. We've got to be focused about it. They were a chosen generation. I believe we are a chosen generation. I believe that. And I believe that God called them out of darkness into life. Everybody in this room has been called out of darkness. Now we're in His light. What we need to do is bring other people into the light. We need to share that with other people. Talked about the mission of the church, kind of our mission statement. What I would like for us to do, and I'm not expecting you to do this right now. Let me give you this. When I was bivocational, I sold every day. I left the house every day looking to sell somebody something. And we were everybody that we hired for our sales team was former car salesmen because we understood the car business. I realize every business is unique. The car business is no exception. You can talk to somebody for about 90 seconds and find out if they really know the car business or not. There's a lingo that goes with it, and it used to be a pretty fun business. And so we hired nothing but car salesmen. We were trained on the car lot, you got to get the sale now. You can't let them leave. You let them leave, they ain't coming back. You let them leave and go across the railroad tracks, there was a Buick store right next to the Pontiac store. They'll come back driving, buying their Buick. You can't let them leave. So we were geared. I got to close you right now. We started asking closing questions real soon in the test drive. Wouldn't this look good in your house, in your garage? Where's the first vacation you're going to take in your new car? You like red or blue? Want the payment due on the 1st or the 15th? We were asking closing questions. So then when we came on the other side where we're selling dealers, they had to slow us down because instead of taking hours, it would sometimes take weeks or months to close the store. So it was a very long process, and we were not used to that. We were geared, I got to close you right now. So they put us through a training session, and it was non-confrontational selling. And part of the non-confrontational selling, some people call it an elevator speech. You know how you get in an elevator and everybody looks up at the ceiling or looks at the floor? So the elevator speech is, what do you say for that 90 seconds you're in the elevator with somebody to start a conversation? We called it a general benefit statement. And I would like for you guys, us, to work on something like a benefit statement. I attend Abundant Life Church, and we exist for hurting people, and it's changed my life. I believe it could change your life. Here's our card with our schedule on it. Would you come join me some Sunday? Just put something in. It doesn't need to be long. You don't need to tell them a whole history of Abundant Life Church. What it needs to be is about 30 to 90 seconds. Just a brief introduction. This is what we are. This is who we are. Would you come visit us? Can I pray for you? Can I put you on our prayer list? Very effective way to reach people because it's real short. It's real concise. And have you walked away from somebody that you met or maybe come in contact with and you got in your car and you thought, man, I missed a good opportunity? What if I had said this? And we analyze it and we're like, man, I feel like such a failure. God, you sent me this person. It was a perfect opportunity and I just blew it. This will keep us from doing that. Just a real simple, here's what I am, here's what Abundant Life Church is, and here's what we do. And it is simple and to the point. You're not pressuring anybody. You're not closing anybody. All you're doing is just introducing yourself, just planting that seed, I think a lot of times we want to go from zero to hero in 6.9 seconds, and it doesn't always work like that. Because I have seen people that we've worked with for months at Abundant Life Church before they ever stuck, before they ever got it. I've met people that came into the church, and in 3 minutes they were speaking in tongues, baptized, and man, ready to go. It happens different ways for different people. So we just kind of need a way to get that conversation started, to get into that. So work on that this week. Just think about it. How can I have a presentation, for lack of a better word? How can I have that 30 to 90 seconds, maybe 120 seconds? How can I have that I use every time? I kind of memorize it. I know what I'm going to say. And that way I don't get back in my car and say, man, I missed a great opportunity. We have church cards, I'm sure, somewhere that has service times on them. We've got invite cards. Keep those with you. You never know when an excellent opportunity might present itself. In the technology age that we live in now, the beautiful thing about this is, even if they do not live close to Abundant Life Church and have not found a church to get connected with, they can join us on live stream. They can go back and listen to a podcast or whatever we call them. I think we archive our services, so you can go back and watch them or listen to them. Our sermons are out there. So there are so many opportunities now where they do not have to live down the street or across town to come to Abundant Life Church. So until they get plugged in somewhere else, helping them plug into another church, they can listen to our stuff, they can watch our stuff and join with us until they can get established somewhere else. So be thinking about that. Just kind of a general benefit statement. Here's who I am. Go to Abundant Life Church. This is what it's done for me. I believe it can do the same for you. Everybody is looking for the next best thing. Everybody's always looking for a good deal, right? So share the gospel with them. Mission statement. Think about I believe the most powerful mission statement is what God has done for you. Your testimony, you don't need notes on that one. You know where God brought you from. You know where you were. Just share, kind of put your personal testimony in with your general benefit statement. Not long. Man, I was lost and undone. I was in bad shape. I found Jesus Christ. Someone introduced me to Him. I received the Holy Spirit, baptized in His name. Here's where I am now. Paul used that method all the time, the before, how, and now. Here's what I was before. Here's what I am now. Here's how I got from point A to point B. And very, very effective. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. If someone would get that for me. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. So why does God give the church leaders?
To do God's work.
The reason we have spiritual gifts and operations for the edification of the body of Christ. It is all for a benefit. It's not so we can keep a scorecard and say, Sister Smith has 3 and I've got 2.5. I'm going to catch her next year. It's not what it is at all. You know why God gave you a spiritual gift? Uplift somebody. We bring all those gifts together because all of us don't have every gift. He brings all of us together. Brother Edwards' gift, my gift, Brother Hawkins' gift, Brother Smith's. We put those gifts together, and guess what? We have church. We leave here on fire. We leave here encouraged because we brought our gifts together and we shared those gifts for the edification of the body of Christ. Not so I can say, hey, I've got this one, you got that one. Mine's better than yours. If you'll work hard. No, that's not what it is at all. It's so that when we leave here Sunday, we can fight another day. I can make it. You come in here Sunday with burden down, life's got you by the throat, choking the life out of you. You come in here, somebody shares something, we have a good service, a move of God, and you leave here thinking, man, I can make it. This thing ain't nearly about over. And we encourage each other, and we're there. Somebody give me a ministry you find helpful in the church. Ministry that's at Abundant Life Church that's helped you. Just quickly, somebody spit one or two out. Hopefully something's helped you. How many of you have kids? Yeah. We've got an excellent kids program. Kids are upstairs tonight learning Bible stories, learning about the Bible. Sunday, our teachers take time with them. Got a great youth program. You can worship God without good music. I've worshiped with bad music. But it's easier to worship with good music. We have good music. You know what makes our music good? Because we have anointed people that it's ministry. It's not a performance, but we have a ministry team, a praise team, and they work together as a team. I believe that our church has good teaching. We've got good preaching. We've got a good presentation. Sound is good. Lights are good. Sound is good if you don't notice it. It's kind of like the umpire. The best umpire is the guy that you don't ever know is on the field, because he's not the star of the show. You come into Abundant Life Church and you leave here and you didn't even think about the sound, or you didn't think about the lights. It was comfortable. That is something to be thankful for. That is something that I am thankful for as a pastor. Man, I would. We got good heat and air. It's comfortable in here. Yes, Sister Smith.
Welcoming people.
Thank you.
People.
Welcoming people. Friendly people. Right. Absolutely.
Apart from Rachel, Sister Pam, by the time the first two I met, Sister Pam would give me a good hug.
If I ever hug any gentleman's wives, don't look at
Yes.
And it didn't feel staged. That's who we are.
Right. I appreciate you saying that. That's what it's sincerely. Sincerity. People pick up on that. And our church, I have taught and I try to preach. Everyone in this church is an usher or a greeter. Do not let somebody just wander around the church. Introduce yourself. Take them by the hand. Sister Candy. Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe it takes a church to raise a family. Every ministry in this church. And not just ministries that are in this building, but every time we go outside to minister. I hear so many compliments on our nursing home ministry and other ministries that we might have going outside of this church. It should be the same. It shouldn't be limited to these four walls. It should be wherever we go, because we take the Holy Spirit with us. We take that experience with us. Any other questions or comments on that? I do not have a workbook. How am I doing with the workbook? Is everything fitting together, making sense? If not, we'll adjust somewhere along the way. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I want to read, someone read that one real quick. Acts 2, 42.
And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer.
What did they do consistently? Prayer. Fellowship. Can I call it outreach? Reaching out. Being aware of other people. When we do something consistently, we build habits. There can be good habits. Bad habits get a lot of publicity, but you know good habits are just as important. It takes about 2 weeks, I think, to form a habit. If you'll exercise for 2 weeks, it starts to get easier, believe it or not. Because then you start, it's part of your routine. And then you start feeling guilty if you're not doing it. So it's like that in the church. You know how a prayer life develops? By praying one day and then praying the next day. And then praying the third day. If you'll pray for about 2 weeks every morning or every afternoon, whatever works for your schedule, after about 2 weeks it becomes a habit. Then it doesn't feel right if I don't do it. Same thing with Bible reading. We have time. Because we have time to do everything else. We have time. What we got to do is just get focused on the things that make a difference. And daily devotions, I believe in that. Also, while we're on the subject of ministry, how many ministries are not in Abundant Life Church because we just simply haven't started them yet. What if God leads one of you guys to start a ministry that we don't even have yet? That's how ministries get going. When a need is recognized and a need is met, that's usually the start of a ministry. So just because we don't have it today doesn't mean we're not going to have it. Maybe it's just not the right time. Maybe the right person has not come in. So if God is leading you in a certain ministry or something, be open to God doing that. Be open to God using you. And who knows, maybe you're the next one that will start a ministry. Quickly, most of you know the schedule of the church. I won't spend a lot of time with that. Obviously, Wednesday night, Sunday. Most of y'all were at our last prayer service. We do one corporate prayer per month, right? And man, great move of God. I enjoy our corporate prayer, being led in prayer and then meeting. There's just something about praying together. There's something about praying together. I guess we started to come to the front for prayer early on. I hope we never outgrow that. I love Sunday altar service. I hope we never get to the point where we just finish and just walk out the door. Because there's some good stuff that can happen around the front. It's nice as a pastor to see you guys moving among each other. It doesn't just have to be our prayer ministers or me praying for someone. You can do it. You can do it. And most of us can read body language. Most of us can tell if someone's got something on their mind. There is nothing wrong with going to them and saying, "Hey, do you mind if I pray for you?" I have never had anybody say, "Absolutely not." I have never been turned down when I asked, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" And I'm talking from the first-time guest to you guys. Never had anybody say, "Oh, no." I've always had them say, "Yeah, absolutely, if you don't mind, that would be great." Any questions, any comments? I'm showing 55 minutes and 17 seconds. Any questions, any comments? Go visit one of the kids Sunday. Ask them what they learned in Sunday school. Go up to one of our youth and introduce yourself to them and ask them what's going on in their life. That'd mean a lot to them. Take some time with them. Take some time with them. All righty. No questions, no comments. Everybody ready? All right, what's your assignment for next week? General benefit statement. Come up with one of those. All right. And then the second one is somebody needs to share a testimony next week. So how did you put this into practice? And find somebody to share it with. All righty. For those of us not here, hopefully that doesn't apply to any of us in the room. I am here. For those that were not here, be sure to tell them to make an effort to be here. If they cannot be here, then we'll record professionally next week. And looking forward to that. Shake hands with someone. Let them know how much you love and appreciate them. And remember Sunday, 11 o'clock, Sunday school, 12 o'clock worship. Yes, ma'am, Sister Smith.